All right. Thanks for joining us today. I'm here with Bishop Tommy McGee, and my name's Johnny Bland. We are having conversations about life with God, and hopefully we are going to point out some things and talk about some things that are meaningful to you as you work for the kingdom in your local context. Today, we're talking about a fascinating topic and one that Bishop McGee and I have had conversations about in private, and I'm excited to have this conversation for you. We're going to be talking about working through weakness, working from weakness. Bishop, I want to ask you, we've talked about this on several occasions, and I want you to talk about the person of Peter and how he kind of illustrates for us what that looks like, this working from weakness idea.
Johnny, let me thank you for private conversations we've had and for the opportunity to share. I'm kind of excited and a little intimidated. There are things that I want to share. And then you also, I think, you always wonder whether what you share is going to be meaningful to anybody else or not. Simon Peter is one of the most interesting characters to me. He seems to me to be a person that we can identify with. Of the disciples, it seems that we know more about him, more about his strengths, and more about his weaknesses. And there must be a reason for that. God must have been wanting us to learn some things about ourselves as we learn about Simon Peter. And that's kind of the way God's word works. God doesn't show his loved ones through rose-colored glasses.
Mm, yeah.
He tells us what really happens.
Yeah.
So when we think about Simon Peter, and I think our conversation has been that we want to talk about what happens and what weakness is and what it can cause, both good and bad. Because weakness alone is not a negative thing, because you remember the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, He said, when you're weak, I'll be strong.
Wow.
And so there's got to be a secret there.
Mm-hmm.
How can we be weak in the right way?
In the right way, yeah.
And not just in the wrong way.
Mm.
But we almost have to see the wrong way before we can see the right
understanding,
way.
Yeah. So maybe let's start there. How can we define weaknesses in a way that is useful for this conversation, but also helps us better understand so we can practically think about, okay, maybe the way the world says, pursue strength, pursue, you know, being the best,
yeah,
versus the kingdom that says, wait, maybe there's a secret here that's different than the world's approach. So how do you think about weakness?
The world kind of says, don't ever let them see you sweat.
Mm.
always be something that you're supposed to be for your role. And it's like we teach children, you know, we teach them to, you know, thankfully you don't hear parents saying things like you used to hear them say, like, you know, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to give you something to really cry about. You know, it's thankfully those kinds of things are not said much anymore. But we're taught in a lot of ways to hide our weaknesses and not be open and honest and get the help for our weaknesses, because we're not supposed to admit that we have weaknesses.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying we ought to go around and tell everybody, hey, do you know what my weakness is?
I'll just give you a list. I had these pre-printed.
I think you might. I did a job interview recently, and in talking to the young lady that we ended up hiring, I didn't say to her, now I want to tell you all of my weaknesses. I want to tell you how it's going to be when you work with me.
And, yeah.
And I didn't ask her what her weaknesses were.
Right.
So, but life reveals our weaknesses.
Mm.
Years ago, I was standing on the porch. I was pastoring a church. You grew up as a pastor's kid, and I did too.
Yeah.
And for most of us, we probably lived in a parsonage that was next door to the church.
Right.
So I'm a young pastor, got my two young kids, my wife, and we're waiting to go across the parking lot to the church. and it's a storm, thunderstorms coming up. And we started to go. We had our umbrellas, and I said, let's wait just a little bit and see if it'll ease up. And less than a minute later, a tree that was in the pathway we would have walked fell over, collapsed. Mm-hmm. It's not just, I'm not telling that to talk about, you know, hey, I was spiritual and I knew this was going to happen, and so I avoided it. But what I remember is the next day after the rain had gone, going over and looking, and the tree was weak on the inside.
Mm.
The tree had been dying. The storm didn't
cause the fall.
Didn't cause
as much
it.
As, yeah.
It was the decay on the inside.
Right.
That had been going on for a long time. And my son became a forester, and he used to tell me, you know, that people want to preserve the old trees, and they have no idea what's inside of that tree, that sometimes you can't preserve it because it's going to fall.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that's true with people. We can never tell from the outside what's going on the inside of a person.
So I think I hear some of that internal, there's some weaknesses that may be internal, could be personality faults, it could be old habits. How do we differentiate between a weakness that might be a decision or sin-based versus a weakness of unknowing, a weakness of frailty, a weakness of being human?
Right.
How do we differentiate those two so we can understand and apply the best parts of being weak in the kingdom versus, we just leaned into the worst parts?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to be said is we all have weaknesses, and we probably all have weaknesses that can be detrimental, and we probably have weaknesses that could be a positive thing if we recognize them and do the right things. I think the best way to differentiate between the two is that maybe the weaknesses that are known and the weaknesses that are unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Simon Peter, as we talk about him today, I don't think he knew his weaknesses. He didn't understand what God understood. And that's a thought within itself, that we should always remind ourselves that we don't know what God knows.
Right.
We don't know ourselves like God knows us. We don't certainly don't know other people like God knows us. You know, and one of the things that scripture that became particularly special to me years ago was the scripture that says that when we'll gather together in heaven, that it says, then will we know even as we are also known.
Yeah.
My interpretation of that is we'll understand each other in heaven much better than we understand each other here on earth, because and I think that what that means is we'll have a greater appreciation for people. There are people, I don't know how to appreciate them because I don't know what they've lived. And an example of that was, I used to preach at a church, particular church, fairly often. I preached a camp meeting a number of times. This church had an outdoor camp meeting.
Yes.
There was an elderly gentleman who was there. He was always quiet. He was always faithful. He was always there. And and I think his name was Brother Clifton. And I was preaching there one time, and I realized I didn't see Brother Clifton. And he wasn't a flamboyant person. He's just somebody I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
So I asked the pastor, I said, I'm missing Brother Clifton. And he said, oh, this is his reunion weekend. And I said, reunion weekend? He said, yeah. He said, he gets together with a group of people who landed on Normandy Beach.
Whoa.
And all of a sudden, I thought, here's this guy. I've never appreciated him because I never knew that he was a hero.
Yeah.
I never knew that he was a man that participated in such a historic landing where so many people were killed all around him.
Mm.
So that's a weakness within itself, that we don't know how to appreciate people
right
the way we ought to appreciate them.
Yeah, I've heard it in leadership conversations talking about the difference between being interesting and being interested. You know, a lot of times I think our impulse is to kind of talk about the things we're good at, talk about the things that we do well, maybe instead of asking to find out the story. Isn't that what makes people interesting? It's not the job, it's their life. It's right. The things that they've done. And man, there's a great principle there for younger generations to treasure and value the elders among us, to hear their stories, the wisdom that we can learn from them simply by saying, I just like to know more about your life. Don't go in with a set of, here's what you can do for me. Say, I want to know more about your life and just be amazed by what you'll find out.
And Johnny, I think that's a great principle to apply to reading the scripture. Is when I read about a person like Simon Peter, is I want to know more about him. I don't want to just know that he preached a great sermon on the day of Pentecost. I don't want to just know that he denied knowing Jesus. I want to know kind of what made him tick. What was his life really like? And so when we're first introduced to Simon Peter, he's a big fisherman. That's mm-hmm. a title that's been given to him by other writers. It appears that he's the guy that when they bring the boats in, he did the heavy work. You know, he grabbed the nets when they were full of fish.
And, right.
And it just kind of took charge. And he was an impulsive guy. Mm. He is one of the things I called him one time in a sermon. My wife wasn't crazy about it. Not the first thing she was crazy about yeah. that I said.
Did she give you an eyebrow? Did she give you a look?
Yeah, it was a look, but it was also a comment later.
Okay.
But I called him a redneck. And she didn't like that. And I reminded her that everybody is a redneck to somebody. But Simon Peter, what I said was, and I may have gone a little too far with it, trying to illustrate. And I said, he wasn't a champagne sipper. He would have been a beer guzzler. You know, he probably drove a pickup truck.
Right, yeah, right.
With a rifle or rod or something in it. You know,
depending on the season.
Right. Yeah, according to what's happening. But Simon Peter is just this big, boisterous guy who was just who he was. Mm-hmm. And what strikes me about that is God loves people like that. Mm-hmm. He loves people who are who they are. God doesn't particularly care for pretentiousness. Mm-hmm. He doesn't particularly care for people who try to act like they're something that they're not.
Yeah.
And I don't think poor Simon Peter could have done that. He couldn't
if he wanted to.
He couldn't have sounded prim and proper. He wouldn't have, all the rules of etiquette, he wouldn't have cared about. You know, he's just this big, strong guy. And all he knows is he's following Jesus, but he's still Simon Peter. Mm-hmm. He's not been glorified yet.
Right.
Hadn't
right.
been sanctified yet. He's just following Jesus.
Yeah.
The best way he knows how, and he's learning, but he hadn't learned all he needs to learn.
Right.
Which is a reminder that's true of all of us. No matter what I have learned in my fill-in-the-blank years, I haven't learned everything that I need to learn. I haven't learned everything I will learn. And so I should never get impressed with what I know. I heard the story years ago about a man who decided that what he was going to do that was going to set him apart is he was going to dig a hole to the center of the earth. And so he would dig a while, get out on the outside and stand back and look at the pile of dirt, you know, this huge pile of dirt that he had dug out of that hole, and he felt pretty good about himself, you know. But they said the longer he dug, he would get out and he would become more impressed with the dirt still in the hole than the dirt he had gotten out of the hole.
Wow.
And so I think that's the more we learn about God, the more we learn about his word, we shouldn't be impressed with what we have learned, but with how much there is still to learn.
Oh, that's a great illustration for the, when you talk about the knowledge of God. You know, at the moment that we begin to think, I've got a handle on this, stop looking at what you've got a handle on and start thinking about what you can't. I've heard an illustration about science has shown us as many as 10 dimensions existing. They've been able to prove the existence of up to 10 dimensions. And we can usually think up to like 4, right? And the person,
I'm not sure I can get to 4.
It depends on the day. But they were saying, imagine that the God who created 10 dimensions exists in those dimensions, and we can't even conceptualize them.
Right.
Right. At the moment we start to think, oh, I understand, fine. I've got it. And sometimes it's to say, I reject it. And sometimes it might be to be prideful. Maybe it brings us back to this weakness idea.
You know, the first thing that I think about Simon Peter's weakness is that we see him thinking he knows himself, believing, I know everything there is to know about me. We see that when he has this interesting conversation with Jesus that totally blindsided him. It came out of nowhere for him. If he was smug, he didn't see it. And they come in these words when Jesus said to Simon Peter, and I've read so many different versions, this version.
Yeah, this will be this.
It could be a partial quote from about 3, but the clear thing is he calls his name twice. He says, Simon, Simon. And then he goes on to say to him, he said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Growing up, if my mother called my name twice, if she ever said, Tommy, Tommy, it normally wasn't going to be a compliment that would follow. And if she ever said my full name, Thomas Harold McGee, I usually wasn't getting ready to get a cupcake or some special treat. But I can almost see Jesus shaking his head a little bit at Simon's ignorance. Simon, Simon, kind of like, you don't know. Yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And what Jesus is saying to him at that point is, Simon, there's so much you don't know, but I know what you know, and I know everything you don't know.
Yeah.
And I see into the spiritual world that you can't see. You don't fathom what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
And behind the scenes, Satan really wants you.
He's working, yeah.
He really wants you. And that's something I think all Christians, if we don't acknowledge that, there's a weakness. There's the beginning of weakness. Mm-hmm. If we don't acknowledge that Satan has a purpose for our lives too. There's something he would like to turn us into, not just what Jesus wants to make out of our lives. And so he says that, and it's like Simon is just totally caught off guard. And he, can you imagine the creation, just this old, as I call him, redneck Simon, telling the Lord, no, you don't know me, you know. Because he said, not so, Lord, you know.
Right, right.
I'm ready. You've got the wrong guy. You're talking about one of these other guys because I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go with you. I'm ready to defend you. I'm ready to die with you. You've got the wrong guy. And so his ignorance of his own weakness is the beginning of his real weakness.
Yeah.
That he thinks more of himself. And then the Bible, we're taught, you know, let not a man think more highly of himself than
he
ought
to. Yeah.
That's the beginning of what we learn about Simon's weakness.
Yeah, it's funny. The boisterous, the quick-spoken, he's the first disciple who really does get Jesus, right? Jesus says, who do people say that I am? It's, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gets it. And then yet he's kind of plateau and then fall. So talk about this kind of pivotal scene for Peter that we're all very familiar with is the denial. You know, is Jesus, when he tells Peter at the Last Supper, when he says, before the sun rises, you're going to deny me 3 times. Is he predicting the future or is he predicting his character? He's seeing the weakness that's within him. Almost that, you know, Peter, this is going to happen. And Peter said, no, not me. No. You got the wrong guy.
Like, I think John's your guy. You know?
I can see John at a drop of a hat. Yeah.
He's not. And Matthew, Lord, you know, he was a tax collector.
I don't like to name names. I don't want to hold it against him. Right. He was a tax collector.
Yeah, so I never quite trusted him. So I understand if you don't trust him, but I'm your guy, you know. And so, and we're not making, we're making light just in the sense of it being real life and real characters. And, but I think that, I think when Peter came to the place where he did exactly what Jesus said he would do.
Yeah.
I don't think you would have ever found Simon Peter standing on the day of Pentecost.
Wow.
If that had not happened.
Okay, I want to just hit pause. So I think maybe we could have a whole conversation about this. But talk about that moment of collapse provided the future strength because he's learning about his weakness. Maybe talk about how we run into these, you know, the razor blade of life. We just run into it, the wall. And yet, Peter needed the failure. Maybe talk quickly about that.
I think about years ago, I think I'm right. It was an airplane crash of maybe a DC-9. I don't remember exactly. But people started saying, you know, I'll never get on another DC-9 again. Mm-hmm. And I remember someone commenting, I'd rather fly DC-9 because they're going to find out what's wrong with it. And the other airplanes, you don't know what.
Yeah, they haven't revealed their problem.
Once they fix it,
right.
I'd rather fly DC-9. Simon Peter is somebody who got fixed.
Mm. Mm.
The failure led, the weakness led to his strength, even though it looked like his strength led to his weakness.
Wow.
There's so many paradoxes in spiritual things.
Yeah.
But listen, Simon Peter, you've got to remember what Jesus was saying before he told him this. He was saying, you're the guys that have been with me, and I'm going to have you sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's like he goes from a hero to a zero, and he does it in two stages. First of all, the revelation of Jesus. Simon, you're going to mess up. No, I'm not. And then the reality that he did. You know, he starts off fulfilling what he said. I'm your guy. I'm ready to go all the way. Because he's the guy that took the sword.
He took the sword, right.
He's the only one that I read about that was ready to defend. But he didn't know how he would respond to a special set of circumstances. Mm. And I'm reminded that none of us know us ourselves that well. I think it's why Jesus said in the great example prayer, lead us not into temptation. Mm. That ought to be a daily prayer.
Yeah.
Because our enemy is always trying to set up a set of special circumstances that we've never encountered, and it reveals about us that we never knew. And so Simon Peter is here warming his hands by this fire. And a little girl, I mean, it wasn't long ago he picked up a sword and cut off the ear of a grown man who had soldiers around him. And now it's a little girl.
Yeah.
It's inconceivable, it's impossible to Peter that this could happen to him. But as you mentioned and referred to, it needed to happen to him because he was overconfident. He believed in himself, and he was a strong man. But we need to remember our strengths are also our weaknesses. The places where I am stronger in my flesh,
right,
is where I'm usually weakest in the spiritual realm, because it's kind of like, okay, Lord, I know I'm weak over here, and I don't need to, and I develop my personal convictions and lifestyle,
right.
But it's where I think, you know, God, I'm pretty good here.
You
know,
you can take a break.
I don't really need any boundaries and guardrails. You know, I pretty much got this covered. But I can't imagine how Simon felt. Well, let me back up and say, I don't have to imagine.
Mm.
I've never been weak just like Simon Peter. But I've surprised myself at times in my life when I thought, Tommy, you know better than that.
Wow.
I can't believe you fell for that.
Wow.
You know, so I'm sure for Simon Peter, being physically there, and this is the Lord Jesus.
Right.
I'm sure that that nightfall and the night, whatever amount of the night he spent weeping and crying over God, you were right.
Yeah.
See, that's a good thing, he said.
Yeah.
He came to a place where he said, God, you're right.
And I'm wrong.
You know me. I don't know me. I thought I was strong, but I'm not. Would you be my strength?
Mm.
That's the pivot.
Yeah.
That's the point at which we all have to come to in our weakness is to say, God, you're right. I have clay feet. Mm. I'm a man. And we're reminded in the scriptures and the Psalms that he remembers that we are but dust. But we have to remember that, as I say sometimes, we're not all that.
Yeah.
We are redeemed flesh, and God lives in us. And if it weren't for him, I think about a song, I don't know if it was Stephen Curtis Chapman, may have to edit this out if it's the wrong name, but a song that he did, if the truth were known and a light were shown on every hidden part of my soul, most would turn away, shake their heads and say, he still has such a long way to go. But he goes on in that song and says, the only good in me is Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I recognize that, I'm pretty weak.
Yeah.
The only thing I've really got going for me is Jesus. That's when we're strong.
Man.
That's when we're strong.
I think if every person, if every follower of Jesus could get to that place, right? You think about the usefulness of a tool is that it's fit for its purpose.
Right.
Right. When we get to that place in our lives where that's our heartbeat, we understand our frailty and weakness and we find the strength of Christ in us. It's as if we're saying to God, the tool is ready. I'm ready to be most useful, so to speak. I think something that's kind of I thought about when you were talking about Simon Peter, you know, he responds to Jesus, you're going to deny me. And he says, no, not me. And he swings the sword in the garden. Do you think some of that maybe, though, is he had a poor understanding of what Jesus was really here to do, right? He was defending the picture he thought he knew of God as opposed to the true picture.
Well, he believes something. You mentioned earlier that that he came to spiritual insight. He believes some things that caused him to believe some wrong things, such as when Jesus looked at him, or he looked at his disciples, said, who do men say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, it's almost like Jesus is startled, and we know nothing startles Jesus. But he looks at him and he says, Simon, flesh and blood
did not reveal this
to you. In other words, you're not that good.
Mm.
This is a revelation that you have come to. And he says, flesh and blood haven't revealed this to you. But here's what he realized. If he is the Son of the living God, he can do anything.
Mm.
He can cause anything to happen. So he probably thought, if we just start the resistance.
Yes, right.
Because we know, here's something we know that's true. We don't think about it a lot. Of all the angels in heaven, one third of them fail. Two thirds are still in the forces of our living God, which is pretty good odds. But as I heard a preacher years ago say that when Jesus was walking through these hours to the cross, that all of the angels of heaven leaned over the balcony, just waiting for one word. All Jesus would have had to have said was, come, and we would have ushered in Armageddon. It had been a bloodbath. Simon Peter believed he was the Son of the living God.
Right.
And he could have caused everything that the Jews wanted to happen with the Messiah. He could have caused all that to happen. And so he just doesn't know God's time, and he doesn't know God's purpose, and he doesn't know God's will. He doesn't understand that. So when he But when he cut off the ear of the servant, Jesus reaches down and picks up the ear, which is in a sense was saying, Simon, you got it wrong. I've told you I've come for a different purpose. I've come to lay down my life. And I like what someone I heard say years ago, that I wonder how many ears Jesus has had to heal that we cut off. But Simon Peter's weakness, and we don't want to just dwell on his weakness, because this is not the guy who stands up on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
And preaches such right. a powerful message. This is a guy who had to understand and learn from his weakness and let his weakness become his strength.
Yeah.
And so the encounter after the resurrection on the Sea of Galilee is very clear. Jesus singles him out again.
I love that connection.
Says, and he says, do you love me? He gave him the chance to redeem himself, so to speak. He had a chance to three times
say, I love you.
Say, you know I love you. You know everything, which that's so key, because at first he was saying, you don't know everything. Yeah. I know I'll never do this.
Wow.
But now he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.
I think about even the inclusion of the detail in John's gospel, that it's a charcoal fire by the lake and it's a charcoal fire where he fails. Yeah. You know, we're sensory beings. The smell of that smoke, you have to think, Peter's thinking, I remember this moment.
It's eerily strange.
It's eerily similar, right? And Jesus, he gives him the chance. And I think he does that. He does the same for us.
You know? I think the other similar thing is they're all looking at him. It wasn't just the girl
by
herself. I think he would have probably passed that test.
Yeah.
But it's the others huddled around and thinking what she's thinking. Hmm. He sounds like he's from Galilee. Hmm. I think he's
one of them.
Yeah. And so all of the disciples, except Judas, of course, are standing there and they're looking at him to see how he's going to answer. Because he, in a lot of ways, was the spokesman for all of them.
Right.
And in some ways, he spoke for them at the fire. They denied him by running away.
Right.
So, you know, he's the spokesman, and the Lord says, do you love me? Simon, do you really love me?
Yeah.
And so something happened, I think, in that moment where he realized, you know everything. And if you know everything and you can do all things, then he may have picked up on what Paul later would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And of course, the contrast of that is I can do nothing unless Christ strengthens me.
Wow.
You see, he's got weakness now that's good weakness.
Right, right.
But the thing I really want to make sure we say is we're all weak. We all have come short of the glory of God. And I don't think that's just a pre-conversion statement. Our weakness has caused us to not be what we could have, should have been in certain circumstances. Jesus has the unique ability to say, I knew all along, I've just been waiting for you to realize that I'm your strength. And if you'll let me be your strength, let's go back to what he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And then listen to this. When thou art converted, he didn't say if. Mm. And it's not converted as when you're saved. Mm-hmm. It's conversion is a turning around.
Right.
When you are turned around and fixed, I'm going to use you to strengthen your brethren.
Wow.
God chooses the guy who, you know.
Yeah.
He chose the guy who his weaknesses. Everybody knows this about Simon Peter.
Right.
But yet, Simon Peter is the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost and declared, being full of the Spirit, now he's really strong. He knows he's weak in himself. And now he has the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says things like, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath raised him from the dead and highly exalted him. You know, and powerful sermon. So we need to be reminded that we're all weak.
Yeah.
God knows our weaknesses, whether we do or not.
Yes.
And when we come to recognize them, God still wants to use us.
Wow.
And there are people that may listen to this sometime soon, sometime in the distant future, that they just need to hear God say, I got big plans for you.
Yeah.
In spite of your weaknesses.
Wow. Wow.
If you'll let me be your strength and quit relying on yourself, I got some big plans for what I want to do in your life and through your life to be a blessing to other people.